Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Outcomes Rocket, recording here at Vive 2024, Los Angeles, California. Today, I have the privilege of having Sri Velamore on the podcast. He is the president and chief operating officer for corporate strategy at Next Gen Healthcare. Sri, thanks for joining me.
Great to be here, Saul. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The meeting has been fantastic. Today we're here. It's the last day. What have you been seeing, hearing? What sticks out to you?
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of days here meeting with folks and just walking around the halls here the last 2.5 days. Really three or four themes that are popping into mind. One is we've got all the luminaries in healthcare here, the healthcare IT folks, the Chime folks, the acute folks. Can't help but think about what healthy co-opetition could look like in our industry if all of us were working together to solve problems. And the interesting news announcement yesterday about the DOJ bringing antitrust investigation against United Healthcare is top of mind as well. So it begs the question, have the big gotten too big? And how do we make sure that there's enough room for competition in the industry so we can all not consolidate each other, but really accelerate the pace of innovation in the industry? So that's one very interesting topic. And then, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about AI. Seems that's part of every conversation.
Definitely.
And it's a little bit of an interesting, certainly we're in the hype cycle with AI right now, but we have implemented now clinical documentation with our providers with over 3,000 folks across different specialties. And there's some very interesting lessons we're learning about how physicians use it and what kind of real world challenges there are once you start to bring AI into the marketplace. So that's another thing that's been top of mind for me. I'm just curious about what others are seeing here in the industry as well. And then of course, we've been talking about putting the patient at the center of care for a long time. A lot of the conversations here seem to have come around full circle to recognizing that importance and thinking about how to stitch together patient journeys across different aspects of the healthcare ecosystem. So some interesting themes, at least.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And so let's unpack some of those. On the first one regarding United, what are your thoughts there? What do you think was the catalyst that finally got the conversation started there? Because they've been acquiring a lot of different large, adjacent, vertically, horizontally, like just everything that they could. So what do you think it was that finally got the conversation going on that?
I mean, anytime you get large enough where you're north of almost $25, $30 billion as a company, you're going to get a bullseye from the industry folks looking at you. But I'd say more recently, certainly an awareness that when the insurance companies actually own the providers themselves, and the insurance companies also own the pharmacy benefit managers, and the pharmacy benefit managers are very tightly coupled with the providers, it begs the question on whether you're serving the interests of the patients when all those parties are aligned on one side of the table. And it seems the government's taking a look at that, saying, we don't have an issue with horizontal and vertical consolidation, but it can't happen at the expense of the patients or at the expense of cost, which seems to continue to rise in healthcare and hasn't come down. So they are not the first, or rather they are the first, but I'm sure they're not the last in terms of who's going to attract this kind of scrutiny from the government.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. And then there's the technology, basically, a lot of the things that are happening here at Vive, the discussions around AI, machine learning, how do we advance care delivery with the use of technology? You brought up AI and the use of notes. And so talk to us about what you guys are doing on that front.
Yeah, Next Gen Healthcare has been very deliberate about how we're deploying AI in our environment. We certainly recognize the disruptive potential of this technology, but we also want to be very careful about how this tool gets put in the hands of doctors and patients. There are obviously privacy concerns and security concerns with making the data available for these models to work on and that there is appropriate consent and data storage guidelines and all that. So that's certainly one part of the puzzle. But what's more intriguing for us has been we have over 3,000 providers using clinical documentation already in production environments. And this is a one-click record a transcript of your conversation with the patient. In seconds, it turns it into a SOAP note. You can evaluate that as a provider, press a button, and have it write it back into the EHR with no incremental work required.
Nice.
And then it destroys the copy of the transcript for everyone's safety at that point, and it's in the system of record, and it gets secured and managed the right way. So we've learned some interesting things. The patterns with which you train as a physician, how to use these AI documentation We're getting a ton of very valuable feedback from our providers about, hey, how's this actually capturing things? When do I need to spell things out? When is it intuitive enough to learn things on its own? The other thing is many of our competitors we're learning are generating this note with AI, but they don't automatically write it into the EHR. So any time you might have saved from using this documentation tool is lost with copying, pasting, and trying to get it back into the right fields, into the EHR. So that's an interesting real-world challenge of making sure it gets used. And then there's the other challenge, which is every clinical specialty is different. So when you use a generic AI in a ortho environment or a pediatric environment or women's health environment, the workflows that it needs to integrate with and account for to write it back are highly variable. And there's no one ring to rule them all. So as an AI company, you have to be very thoughtful about working with that last mile delivery issue and make sure that providers understand how this will integrate into the workflows, what's getting left out, what's getting added that may be extraneous, and doing a lot of that clinical change management with physicians and nurses on the ground. They're actually using this technology to make sure that this truly meets their needs. So some fascinating kind of execution questions there.
Yeah. So is it meeting the needs today?
The early feedback has been phenomenal. So on the plus side of it, folks are saving anywhere from 45 minutes to 2 hours worth of documentation time a day. And that translates into significantly more appointments and revenue for a typical medical group, which is terrific. On the other side of it, it's forcing providers to revisit the way in which they treat patients. If you were treating patients a certain way, you could get AI to copy the current way of doing things and replicate all that. Or you can say, hey, I might need to change the way in which I interact with patients and do things differently because this AI is doing a lot of the extra work for me. And it's that second part of getting folks to change old habits and think about care delivery very differently and how to transform it because this technology is now available to them. That part, I'd say there's work to be done to get folks along.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. You'd think something as value add as saving that time for the note integrated into the system would be an easy adoption, but there's definitely a change. There's a change in the workflow and how the care gets delivered.
Indeed. And they say innovation happens at the speed of culture and change management. And this is very much true when it comes to AI. Lots of hype about the potential, but I think unless we get the folks on the ground to truly appreciate how their lives will be different and get them comfortable, the speed at which even obvious things like these get used, it's going to slow down.
Yeah, great call. Anything that you guys are working on beyond the AI assist or for notes that you wanted to share today?
Yeah, this is just the first step. If you think about AI, not just as artificial intelligence, but truly augmented intelligence as a, hey, here's a co-pilot for someone on the ground taking care of patients. What are all the ways in which this entity can assist you? Taking notes is the easiest and the most obvious place. We are looking at providing assistance on selecting the right codes, for instance, as a next step. Another thing we're in the process of doing is intelligent and intuitive navigation. So the AI knows that when you ask question A and ask for data point A, 9 times out of 10, the next thing you're going to ask for is X and Y. So it can actually present to you fields and data points that you know you need to collect based on what it knows you did before. And we call these macros within the EHRs themselves. Yeah. Those are two great steps, providing assistance on prescribing the right medicine, being able to go back and doing meta-adherence reviews with folks, giving you clarity into the patient's eligibility and benefit construct and status. These are just some of the use cases we're starting to look at that can start to pile on the back of clinical document. Once the delivery mechanism's there, and the physicians are trained and they're comfortable using the tool, they're happy to take more and more of this decision support.
That's great. It's more tools to help with optimizing care delivery, optimizing the billing side. A lot of things are missed, a lot of revenue leakage that happens due to some of these misses. So I think that's very exciting. On the patient front, you did call out the importance of keeping the patient at the center and what are we doing to enhance that experience? Any thoughts around on that topic?
Tons of thoughts on that topic. I'll start by saying the portal is dead. Long live the portal. I know we've been saying that for a long time, but just walking around here, seeing some of the solutions, even what we've deployed in our environment, it's an exciting time because the notion of this portal as something you needed to certify that was just the realm of the EHR companies, I think, has been appropriately challenged. On the acute side, we have, of course, the large EHR players that had their native solutions. On the ambulatory side, there's been very interesting innovation. So we have these several companies, including our partner who we work with, Luma Healthcare, that is working with us to integrate very tightly with the electronic health record system and with the practice management system so we can create a complete digital front door that can close the loop from the patient experience. So everything from the ability to search, schedule, access care, do your televisit, pay for the care, do your wellness reviews, have your card on file, and then even if you're in a value-based care environment, continue to stay engaged with that patient with messaging, all happens on a single digital front door and platform. And it's mobile first, and it's based on quick links, so you don't have to remember your credentials all the time. You can just log into your phone and do what you need to do quickly, get done and move on with your life. And I think that convenience and that flexibility of going to one place and being able to do everything with as little friction as possible is extremely powerful. And the early results, again, here are terrific. The NPS promoter score from patients that are using these capabilities with us is north of 90, which is unheard of in healthcare, let alone most industries. But beyond next gen, I'm really excited about what this means for patients, and particularly in the ambulatory healthcare space, where so many of our clients are independent medical groups, they're in rural communities, they're FQHCs, they're community health centers, they're folks that serve behavioral health folks. Having tools like these is incredibly valuable to make sure that patients get the care that they deserve.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, Sri, lots of great things happening. Always appreciate your insights on the podcast. What closing thought do you want to leave our listeners today with?
There are over 10,000 companies in the healthcare technology space, and we're spending north of $40 billion of invested capital in our industry year over year to try and transform our sector. There's room for that investment to be significantly smarter if so many of our colleagues over here and friends on the show floor here can start to work together more effectively. So there have been some terrific conversations about how we can be better at co-opetition, which I think needs to be the theme for the next 2 or 3 years between many of these parties. There's plenty of impact to go around. I think if we work together, we can actually start to solve some real challenges here. So that's exciting.
Totally agree. Great call to action there, and something for all of us to think about, that co-opetition. Let's keep it top of mind, everyone. And Sri, just want to thank you for being on the podcast today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Saul.